some people get crabby at me. I know this is something you never have to deal with, Julie, but they say, well, you're just sucking up to those people in Congress. You're just sucking up to them. It isn't that. It's relationships, which really mean a lot. I don't agree. I can find five things with all those people I mentioned right now where I'd say I'm kind of crabby and I'd like you to do it differently. But anyway, do appreciate you, and I just wanted the audience to understand that a little bit. Okay? Is that fair?
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. And those relationships, that's real. And you mentioned Dorgan, Conrad, and Pomeroy. They were pragmatic Democrats. I wish there was more pragmatic Democrats like them in the Senate today. I don't think we'd be looking at day 20 of a general government shutdown with, you know, just the reality of the situation being the House having passed almost a month ago now a bill to keep the government open, and this Democrats taking, or this the Senate and the Republicans there taking 10 votes to keep the government open and just simply needing five Democrats to switch sides to end this mess and just insisting that they aren't going to do it and demanding $1.5 trillion in partisan spending as kind of the ransom for opening up the government, which is just a non-starter. That's not a serious proposal. So we need some pragmatic Democrats. I was hoping that Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota would come.
Oh, no. Where you messed up there, Julie, is they're too busy at the No Kings rally. They had other priorities, just so you know. And to your point on reasonable, normal Democrats, they don't go to events like that. Ken Conrad and Byron, well, maybe Byron. Byron is a little of the more liberal of that whole group. But I guarantee Earl Pomeroy and Ken Conrad, and you're right, they were normal Democrats, which unfortunately is about as extinct as some squirrel now. They don't exist. They don't dare pop up their head or they get it chopped off. It's sad. Hakeem Jeffries, another one. Certainly more reasonable than Nancy Pelosi ever was, but not on this, because he's got to be a SEAL act, just like Schumer, to get the fish from AOC. So is this fixable, is my question.
Well, it has to be fixable. The American people are counting on it. The federal workers, the military, you know, the Border Patrol, the TSA, all these folks, they're still working. All my team, we're working. We're every day trying to advance our agenda, try to get things done for the citizens of our state. And we have to figure it out. So, yeah, I believe we will. But they're going to have to come forward with some more serious policy proposals, because it's really hard to know how to negotiate from something that doesn't, like the clean continuing resolution, doesn't include any extra spending on it, no partisan riders. There's nothing to take off.
Well, I just want you to know this is all your fault in the House. So here's where I'm going to disagree with Julie, because you're not coming back into session to fix this. Mike Johnson doesn't want to cut. I know this because I follow, a guy by the name of Khanna on Fox. I think you know who I'm talking about. And he's one of these AOC like yappers. And he said on Twitter over the weekend, why don't we call Congress back into session, Mike Johnson? I'd vote to pay our troops. I'd vote to pay essential federal workers and at least get that passed. Here's what I'd love for you to do. Maybe this could be a little olive branch, Julie. Go to Roe and hand him a copy of the Constitution, right? And all those godly documents the founding fathers kicked out. And we should get him a copy of the book, How a Bill Becomes a Law, because you guys have done your job already. And now it's up to the Senate, and then you can worry about all this stuff later. They don't revere or even understand the Constitution, do they?
I'm shocked at how many people don't even know today that the House passed the clean continuing resolution to keep the government open, that we've already passed that. I've talked to many North Dakotans. I've been traveling the state, and when people say, why isn't Mike Johnson fixing this? And I say, we already passed this. We've done our work. We voted to keep the government open, and it passed. People are surprised. They don't know that. So it's really...
Well, you know who doesn't know it is people in Congress that should know better. And part of this is the Republicans got to do a better job of that. I think you've done pretty good, certainly compared to other shutdowns in messaging this. I think you have the moral high ground now. But it's time to move off of moral high ground and No Kings rallies and say, don't be stupid. Everything you want to argue about, we'll argue about the day after you open the government. You've been around a lot of political values. You always have that calming force. I think you could be one of those pragmatic voices to say, look, you're going to win related to debating all of this stuff. That's what the Constitution wants us to do. But reopen the government, and all you're doing is funding Biden's budget, for crying out loud, until what, November? Like, it's hardly even, you're kicking the can down the road, a month is all, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to finish the next fiscal year's budget and appropriations bills. So, yeah, I hope that we see some movement here in the next week, Scott.
Well, give me, I don't know what they say about hopes and wishes and nuts and all the rest, that little metaphor, but just use the Julie Fedorchuk political wisdom, seeing many battles, and tell me, is it going to end now that they got that dumb No Kings rally out of the way and they could say, see, our rally ended this? I mean, is it going to end? Do you believe like we're days away from this ending?
It's hard for me to predict because I am far more pragmatic than these people. So I don't understand their mindset. I truly don't. I did not believe we would shut down because I thought that they would see that this is a pointless exercise and damaging to American citizens, but they didn't see it. So I completely underestimate the levels to which folks on the left are willing to go to score political points.
There's something called the SCORE Act, and I don't know anything about it, but I'm told by smart people that teams like NDSU and UND and others in the FCS will be harmed greatly, and the FBS and the biggest of the big will win. I know you spent some time with Craig Bohl, legendary coach, recently. Give me up to speed on that quick.
Well, the SCORE Act is a piece of legislation intended to help kind of create common rules across the nation on the name, image, and likeness issue affecting college sports. So taking it out of state control and creating sort of a national standard. It's been looked at and input has been provided by the Energy and Commerce Committee, with that I serve on the House Judiciary Committee, and the Education and Labor Committee. So it's taken three different committees and jurisdiction. It's passed all three of those committees. It's heading to the floor soon, depending on when we get back into session. We've worked pretty closely with UND and NDSU and feel that their biggest issues have been resolved. They're comfortable enough moving forward with it as is, as a starting point. As with any big piece of legislation, of course, there's probably going to need to be tweaks made down the road. But that's sort of where we're at right now as it relates to the SCORE Act.
I'm going to add this to our future conversation to go in more detail. We don't have time today.